All right, let's go to Ecclesiastes 4. Let's get back to Ecclesiastes instead of all these side trips that you guys have been taking. Shut up, Ronnie. You're going to start picking on me all around. Then I returned to morning Bible study, and I saw vanity under the sun. That's what it says in verse 9, right there. No, verse 7.
Are we in 3?
4.
I mean chapter 4?
Chapter 4, verse 7. No, but we've already studied verse 7 and 8. Verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. How can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. As you can imagine, there are 60 jillion commentaries about all of this in the Talmud and Midrash. The general consensus where it says two are better than one is it refers to marriage. Some say the twofold refers to Mordecai and Esther, and the threefold then refers to Ahasuerus with them. Some say it refers to Scripture. The Lord spake unto Moses, then the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, then the Lord spake unto Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. But the point of it is man is, back to Genesis 1, man is not intended, it is not intended or is not good for man to be alone. The implications of this are massive. Because at the Tower of Babel, it wasn't just language that was confused. It was the capacity for one person to communicate with another. I doubt very seriously if any of us have had more than a handful of true communications with another person, where there is total and complete vulnerability and emptying. And this is why, especially in the English language, it is so difficult. You remember, in Hebrew, the best I can say, I can't say this is my cup of coffee. The best I can say is this cup of coffee is near me. So once the English language developed with everything possessive, it changed our way of thinking. Well, not just English, but English is sort of like the height of ridiculousness.
Yeah, it's important to talk about English because it's becoming the new...
It's a national language. International language, I mean, yeah. And not only is it English, it is the Bible is no longer being translated, it's being targumed by idiots. And so we not only have, when we have the largest television network in the world and the Bible that is primarily, I mean, religious, it's the largest network, but it's a religious network, and the Bible that is primarily being used to quote Scripture is the living Bible, then, I mean, we are going to create a generation of spiritual illiteracy, spiritual babies. I want this and I want it now. When I want something, by God, it's my right to have it. And so the whole idea of there is one alone and it's not good for man to be alone, what's happened is in our alleged societal Darwinianism, our alleged improvement, the distance between you and everyone else is becoming greater and greater and greater and greater. Does that communicate? Do you understand me?
Spiritual redshift.
The other thing that's happening is that because of technology, then the aloneness becomes emphasized because you live only in your imagination. When Gary Buckner was younger, he was hooked on any kind of an electronic game. I pray to God he's been delivered from it now, from all these new ones that they have. But it is a life of aloneness and imagination with imaginary universes that only emphasizes the aloneness. That's why the idea of having a culture of observers, and trust me, even if you're pushing little buttons on the electronic games, you're still an observer. You're not living it. And so it emphasizes the imagination instead of the experience. And this only creates a society which forever and ever and continually becomes more and more and more alone. But it is not good for man to be alone. This is why creating a body where there is true vulnerability, where you commend yourself openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God, is becoming almost impossible. This is why... do you know that in several states, the divorce rate among so-called Christians is higher than the pagans? And then they talk about we're having this end-time revival. The revival consists of going to some other place so you get, again, an observer to watch somebody up on stage, or you come to morning Bible study and listen to some idiot, me, instead of being the mystery, you listen to the mystery. It is not good for man to be alone.
What's that scripture about setting, you set the solitary in families?
Yeah.
You know, Psalms or something.
Yeah. It's the Psalms of Ascent.
It's like that's what he does with us. He brings us to.
But it takes mind-blowing something to cause the vulnerability to come into being even in a community, even after 30 whatever many years. Because you still are playing the electronic games in your imagination. And you're creating, you're asking God to go to a place that doesn't even exist. It's an imagined universe. Is this touching anyone? And then we have Tom. Tom was hooked on Dungeons and Dragons. No matter what we talked about, and what happened? I asked him to put Jesus in the game, and he was the first one killed all the time. So it kind of made him a little bit nervous. But put Jesus in your imagination, and I promise you, put Jesus in these stupid video games. I promise you, he will be the first one to die. And maybe then you can see the evil of your imagination. Nobody's responding? Nobody? I didn't touch anybody, so they need to confess. Nothing is happening. We're just, again, a nation of observers. The fruit of the fall, but more than doubly emphasized at the Tower of Babel, was that when the languages were confused. Remember, the fruit of the fall is that now, let's look at it, Genesis 3, and we'll see the fruit of all these ridiculous things that are being invented daily. Billions of dollars being made. They just sold the 1 billionth video game.
Point out to you that there are Christian video games.
Yeah, right. That's like having a
Jesus is there.
That's a Christian tree. I'm sure he's a perverted Jesus. That's a warrior.
Yeah, they have the Christian warrior action figures.
This kind of stuff makes me crazy if you haven't gotten a sense of it yet. Because it is so the antithesis of the mystery of God. And no matter what I say, no matter how often I exhort, the silence continues. And the discussions and realities and, oh, I'm going to beat up Oli in my mind. Genesis 3, did I say that? They just had the curse, which was not a good thing. But it happened, and there's nothing you can do about it. And if you don't believe you're under the curse, just imagine, where would you be if your grandfather had died at birth? You wouldn't exist. And you don't exist. You're golems. We all are, created by our own imaginations. Anybody remember when they were a child and their desperate attempts to try to be something and be somebody, and you took little pieces of everything around you and created you? Does that sound familiar to anyone? That son of a bitch is a lie. You are a lie. I am a lie.
You would have had
an early Columbine.
Probably. The pain of it is what drives you.
Again, remember, as hunks of whatever it is we are, we have spent, since the moment of self-awareness, we have spent our entire existence moving towards pleasure and away from pain. And we have invented ourselves based on pain avoidance and pleasure seeking. Now, because that invention is such a strong thing, because those experiences, you remember we talked about the epinephrine experience, when something is seared into your brain? That's why nothing about your mind, your brain, is trustworthy. Because it is made up. It's like trusting a little robot that you made to tell you the truth.
You know, I find one of the problems in this whole arena is the things that I learned in those formative golemish times or whatever are what is ingrained in me. And if I'm not just plowed up, that's how I respond. Like Psycho-Cybernetics, I thought was just a great book. You just described it. Away from,
never heard of it.
Well, it's away from pain and move toward pleasure.
That's what everything even today is.
Yeah.
Even that's what these seeker churches are. Oh, come here. We'll have pleasure here to avoid the pain over there. The pain of aloneness is so bad. Now come here to this bunch of people that dress up in their Sunday best and act better. They should all win Academy Awards. Do you understand? You remember when we talked about what a tzaddik was? The role of a tzaddik was twofold. One is to describe with perfect clarity the incredible situation, the danger that you're in, and then to provide the solution. The word tzaddik, that's why remember the word tzaddik in Hebrew means righteous. And the tzaddikim were the righteous ones. You remember the tzaddik were the only ones that could go inside the Holy of Holies. And they couldn't face it. They had to be let down on ropes with their back toward the ark and the cherubim. and they cleaned the walls to make sure, but they could never face it because of the awesomeness of it. Now, if you can understand that that cherubim and that ark are within you, that's why you've got to see the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds and casting down every imagination and every high place that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. If you don't do it, if you don't say what's there, I promise you, you cannot do this alone. And you cannot do that around people with common idolatry.
You can't what, say what's there?
No, you can't cast down imaginations and bring every thought into captivity, because you'll find and hang out with people that agree with you. That's what meaning, oh, I like that person. Yeah, because you have exactly the same idolatry, and you'll like them as long as the idolatry remains the same. But here, listen, here. The curse is, you, from dust you are, and dust you shall return. And then in verse 20, Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Now, the coats of skin were because the only way God could permit them to be was that they had to be covered in the blood. And the coats of skin were the coats from goats or sheep, from the future offerings. And that's the only way they could have been permitted to exist. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And it's the implicitness in this is that is so terrible that it can't even be described. Because, and this is just my opinion, I believe that's what that there was an age before Adam, and it was the age of Lucifer. And he and his minions put forth their hand after they'd eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and put forth their hand and ate also of the tree of life. And that's why they will live as long as time exists. And that's what the spirit world is made of. And now, that's what you're made of. Unless you know that Jesus Christ is in you. Now, lest they put forth their hand and eat also of the tree of life. Now look at what happened in the fall. Go to Genesis 6. I mean, not the fall, the flood. I'm sorry. Go to Genesis 11. We're not the flood. We want the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11, verse 6. And the Lord God said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them that they imagine to do. Go to, let us go down there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Same warning, same awesomeness, same terribleness. Then we just read it and think, well, we're not. That's talking about them back there. No, it's talking about you and I today. And I promise you, the only way that there is going to be this casting down of imaginations, the only way that your temple will be emptied, is by saying what's there. Never leaning on your own arm of understanding. Never reverting to the worship of Baal, of cause and effect. Always living only in 100% dependence and communicating it and speaking it.
Wow, the danger here is the same one, and it has to do with imagining what you're going to do.
That's right.
And it's like instead of just being.
Does anybody feel the awe of God in this? Can it possibly make you just open up and be you, let everything out so that it can? I promise you. You confess your fault one to another that we might be healed. He's not talking about healing your pimple. He's talking about healing this thing by not healing it like we think of the word heal, but it's not therapy. It's eonomai. It's healing so that it's one and whole and complete. And there's no area of the garment spotted by the flesh. Our only life is Christ. Our only rightness is Him. It is not good for man to be alone. And yet, as time continues, man is more and more and more and more alone. Including here.
I ran into a friend of mine up at the coffee shop that occasionally we see Quinn Matthews. And he's from my high school.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. I remember him.
And we were talking, you know, he's talking about getting some of these reunions we've gotten together with, except I've never been to one. But, you know, he was saying, like, after the 10th anniversary reunion, you know, everybody's sort of posing and really trying to impress everybody. And so, you know, after you get down to about the 30th anniversary reunion, you know, so much has happened to people that, you know, nobody's really doing that anymore. They don't care because, you know, and he was telling me about one guy who had leukemia and, you know, and gone through this whole thing and has actually recovered from, you know, it's like if people, you know, it's like a lot of that golem, if you're just looking at it clearly, you know, is ground down to, you know.
It is down to nothing.
Yeah. But even in the natural, you know, people.
Well, there was a thing I saw a few weeks ago on some news show or something. Who knows what it was on? I can't remember. But it showed this interesting thing that the highest percentage of the times for plastic surgery and Botox and all of the other sort of cosmetic stuff is so that it's time to go to class reunions. And these, you know, the doctors, the plastic surgeons and others, they have seminars on that. So their peak advertising time is enough time so that they can have their surgery and be a perfect golem by the time they go to their high school reunion or college reunion. You go to family reunions, that's a lark.
Never been to one. Never invited me.
I went to one and I was never invited back.
Wonder why?
Because I talk like this.
Well, see, at least you got invited to one.
What do you mean you have a family reunion every month or so with your brother and sister and mother?
Just called a fight.
That's called what?
A fight.
Oh.
Yes.
But my point, can you see what I'm talking about? And what I'm about to read wasn't just to Ezekiel, it was to everybody that has ever sat before a true preacher. In Ezekiel 33, verse 30, "Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord." But hear me, he said they're talking against God because they're saying, come and hear. You understand me? "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their own covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And that when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then they shall know that a prophet hath been among them. Now, this has nothing to do with me. It has to do with anyone who's preaching the word of God. The only thing that the prophet has ever spoken was the danger that you're in and the solution that's right next to it. Every other form of thought is a seductive lie. I think that's probably enough for this morning. Anybody have any response? Bojo?
No.
Any amen? Or? I'm going to start picking on Bojo as much as I pick on Buckner.
You need to use reverse psychology. Tell Bojo he can't talk.
Paradoxical therapy.
Yeah. I kind of know Gary's story. And I'm thinking about this friend of mine. The last day of school, I think it was like 8th grade or something like that, he got beat up. So he went home and got a set of weights and lifted weights like 5 hours a day, every day, and completely transformed himself. And that set the course of the rest of his life. He became first mate on the Tropic Rover and climbed mountains and did all these things to prove that he wasn't a little wimp. And I remember the power. I can feel the incredible power of what was going on in me in 6th and 7th and 8th grade. About sex. It was just totally, all consuming.
You know what it is? It's all about nakedness, I was thinking. Yeah. You just don't want to be naked, so you find something to cover yourself with. Whatever it takes, you grab.
Yeah, that's what I'm remembering, the beginnings of parties. And the guys that would always be invited to parties and always be popular, and here I was over here, this fat little kid with pimples and dressed weird and all this shit, and I just looked and observed what it would take to be successful and did anything to succeed. Anything.
And they invited you anyway?
No, it's all about what the world worships, and that is ambition or willpower. And that is beautiful in its time, because you've heard me say so often, without the high place activity, you couldn't have existed. You would have died. But now is the time now, the moment you become a believer is the time to begin opening all the doors and opening all the caverns. When we're gonna get here in the next chapter, it's talking about when you go to put your foot in the house of God, and then all of the things that are manifest concerning that. And really what the Shema or Shema means when it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And the idea that what we do, we bring all of, not just the present garbage of what you may be thinking about, but we bring all of the little images and templates and governors and all the things that created us, and we try to bring all that into the temple of God. And he said, no. The only thing that go into the New Jerusalem, there is nothing in there that is corrupted. Or remember the...
And I was thinking of the thing where you're not supposed to take your, the script of money or staff or anything when you go in.
You can
think it helps you on your journey. It's like the journey's over.
You can't go to the house of God with the intention of going anywhere else. So that means that every time you entered the temple, you had to believe it was the last day and it was the judgment day. And then when Jesus said, now you are the temple of God, do you understand what that means? It means everything that I've taught for 30 years, that all of the issues regarding the perfection, and when I say by one offering you've been perfected forever, then that means that you can't bring any of you in. And yet you still, you know, that's why, I mean, I understand that it's a long process and a slow process, but I don't understand the unwillingness to discuss your responses to what's being said. I don't understand unwillingness to let whatever's there come forth. Boom. It is beyond me. I don't know what else I can do to tell you how important that is. You know, when we first started, every time I talked, and everybody wanted to talk to me after Bible study, it made me crazy. Because then you've missed the whole point. You think that I've got something to say or I have some purpose. No, the purpose is us. And whatever's going on with you is for us. But again, we have created a silent golem that wants to make sure that he's not exposed. So everything is carefully measured. It is not good for man to be alone. Aren't you tired of being alone? Anybody else?
Yeah, this is hitting me at the core of how often I cover over and just all my lack of zeal and a lot of different.
Well, what happens? The reason you become the dark overlord is because it's very difficult for you to say that hurt my feelings. And so the response is you pull a Michael Melendez.
Yeah, I got you that to you last night.
I mean, don't worry about it. I mean, I understand it. I see it. But all I'm saying is that who are we kidding? I mean, God knows what we're thinking. So why keep it secret from anybody else? We commend ourselves openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds. That's the light of the glorious gospel of the face of God, blah, 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 should shine unto them.
I was thinking it's
I'm going to read that.
A living Bible translation.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So much is about shame, which we've discussed quite a bit. And in the thought process of that shame, I was thinking how Christ was crucified in shame. But shame was crucified. And if we get a grip on that, then we can be naked in our shame. Because we're free of it.
Yeah, I was thinking earlier this morning. I'm affected by everything you said. But you know, I was thinking this morning, and just, you know, really amazing that we're talking about this subject here, but I, you know, I made this attempt to be, you know, as honest as I possibly could about myself. I said, and I thought the reason why, or another reason why that, you know, I don't take the stairs, that, you know, it's like, you know, I'm terrified, I'm afraid, and I'm a coward. And, you know, I just hate to say that about myself, but it's true. Regardless of whether, you know, I want to say that or not, I don't want to believe, you know, it's the truth. And, you know, I have to be willing to face it.
Everybody is, Ronnie. Everybody is.
But I know there's a part of me is that everything you say is everything that I want to be.
Well, hear me, and this is.
I don't know
if I said it. I understand me. The whole mystery of life is really based on shame and the way the human race lives. It's the driving force. It's the core of ambition. It's the power of the deception of free will. And that's why the shame offering is the sin offering. And you gotta believe, you gotta see that this massive difference between trespass and sin. Trespass is just the stupid things we do and the mistakes we make. But sin is what we are at the core, because at the core we are shame. Ever since, from the first time the fall happened, and Adam and Eve hid in the trees because they were naked. And God said, "Who told you you were naked?" Well, nakedness, it's like, you know, it's great to look at naked bodies if they've been like pre-approved. You know, like you have an editor that's pre-approving the nakedness. But don't go to a nudist camp. I mean, none of the people in the nudist camp have been pre-approved.
You need to go to that doctor.
Okay, well,
approved.
But what happens is we don't want to be naked. And I don't care how long. I don't want to be naked. I don't want to tell you that the reason I hate scatological humor is because I crap my pants when I was 7 years old. I don't want to tell you any of that. As far as I know, I've told you everything. Maybe there's probably, I'm sure I haven't. But I don't feel, I know that within me, that is in my flesh, that is in my identity, dwelleth no good thing. I know that I am totally 100% shame-based in me as an identity. That's why I run to the cross at every second, because I don't want any part of shame. I don't like shame. Christ doesn't like shame because he was the offering for shame. But yet you spend your life hiding in the trees, just like Adam did. Negotiating and moving, and that's why we're called the way of the snake. That's what the snake does. And instead of this, we all with open face, as in a glass, beholding the glory of the Lord, are changed or transfigured into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. But that's only if. Therefore, if we have received this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty or guile, not walking in craftiness, not handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant, for Jesus' sake. For God, who has commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's our only life. Everything else, every other action, every other thing that has ever happened before you were ever even a glint in your father's eye. Before, in the grandfather, great-grandfather, all the way back, has been ordained by God to bring you to this point so that this time you can hear. And this time you can know that shame is as gone. It's gone. And you have to give it no more breath. And it's no more an influence in your life. But again, you have to, this is... What do you think Christ did with the disciples for 3 years? They were always, fundamentally, they were mostly always alone, always sitting around campfires. I'm convinced he did when he read the three-year cycle. They went through and every disciple was challenged to the very core of his being until they, as empty vessels, could receive the fullness of Christ on Pentecost. This has nothing to do with me. It has to do with this thing of this letting the shame go out the door. I mean, letting the templates just being. Amen. All right, I'm tired of talking. Take a big guy. Shut up, Jim.
I was just getting ready to say, I'm glad you're still talking, but every time you say, well, that's it, I don't want to talk anymore, and about 30 minutes later, you say, okay, take your pick. Are you laughing at me?
Thanks, Jim. Take a big guy.